Content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's not Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. But Drew is not in studio tonight. No, Drew is out in Florida. He is doing something for spring break and Trojan condoms. And it's basically the same old story. Somebody dropped a nickel somewhere around the country, and Drew's going after it. Now, I don't know if Drew can hear me because he is in Panama City or Panama Beach City or City Beach of Panama in Florida. And he's at some sort of club and he's trying to broadcast over here and he has a bad phone line. And I realize now, hearing myself in an undrugged state, unlike last night, I have a little swelling in my jaw. And this is why I have a little bit of sound, because I had a tooth removed yesterday, and I got sort of a golf ball in my cheek. And I was thinking about something when I was hanging around today. I was thinking what the nurse told me before I went in for my oral surgery yesterday. She said, it was a nice place I went to. It was a nice upscale dentist. And they had TVs up on the walls and a selection of movies you could watch. And she said, would you like to pick out a movie to watch during the procedure? And I said, yeah, that sounds good. So I walked over, grabbed a movie, started walking into the back into the room where the procedure was going to be done. And she said, you may want to grab two movies. And I thought, because I got the Towering Inferno here, and that's 2 hours and 10 minutes. And she's like, yeah, you better pick out two. And I took that as a bad sign that 2 hours was not going to cut it in the dentist chair yesterday. So you have to excuse my lisp today, but I am clear-headed. I'm not drugged like I was yesterday. I really have no recollection of last night's show. I hear Paul Rodriguez was on it. And Dr. Drew is coming to us from Panama City, Panama Beach.
Yeah. I'm about as pissed as I can be. How about that?
What's the matter, Drew?
Things weren't as they were supposed to be, the way they were billed.
Well, that's okay, Drew.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, listen, these things, you know, this comes with the territory.
I just spent an hour struggling to get this studio to cooperate with us, and it's just been horrible. We have a bunch of guys here working their ass off trying to make this thing work. It's like trying to get some old Model T to, like, fly.
Right. Well, they wouldn't. Why wouldn't they cooperate with you, Drew?
Oh, they're cooperating. It's not the matter of cooperation. It's that what was supposed to have been here, none of it was here.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Like, if I had known, I could have begged you for your zephyr.
Yeah.
It would have been no problem.
All right. Well, ironically, we had it last week when we didn't need it, and then this week when we do need it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's gone. All right, so what...
I'll be delighted to sit here on the phone. That's fine.
Oh, is that what it is? You're on the phone right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good times.
Let's do it from the phone?
That's fine with me. I mean, unless or until we can get something else going.
There's also a huge electrical storm going on here in the middle of all this. It's really amazing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, when did you fly in? This afternoon?
Like an hour ago, yeah.
And what are you doing? Working tomorrow?
Yeah. You know, I'm at that club you and I were at years ago. It's so bizarre coming back to the exact same place, same hotel, same everything. And we rented a boat here. Remember this? You and me and my wife went out on a boat?
Yeah, that's right. Now,
yeah,
we were out there for MTV Spring Break about 5 years ago.
Yes. It was like 7 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it was 7 years ago.
It's incredible how much time has passed, and this place is built up, and it's bizarre coming back to a place, you know, where you stood 7 years prior and looking at how different you feel and how different things are. And then I remembered our fateful boat trip.
Oh, yeah. What was wrong with our boat trip?
You were complaining.
Oh, Drew, that doesn't sound like me.
How did you recover from your surgery?
I'm swollen, but other than that, I'm fine.
Really? How long did you sleep last night?
I slept until about 9:15 this morning. I went to bed at 2 or something. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's weird about me. I was drugged up like a maniac all day long. I still come home and watch an hour and a half of TV. No matter what.
Not just TV, infomercials.
Yeah, I like that.
TV could be one thing.
That son of a bitch with the question marks all over his goddamn suit, screaming about how to get more of my tax dollars into your pocket if you want to write a novel or come out with
Adam, you talk about those things as though everyone knows what you're talking about, as though everyone lives in that parallel universe after midnight. Look, I've never seen.
You never saw The Shining until 3 days ago, you idiot.
Yeah, I've never seen the guy with the question marks. I've never seen your buddy with the Tommy Vu. Was that his name?
All right, wait a minute now. See, this is tough because there's only one guy in that other room, which is Brian, who knows what's going on. Brian, all right, the guy, the skinny man who
has... You're a dickhead. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, well, Anderson knows because he's a night owl. Anderson stays up all night and watches TV.
I actually thought it was a Bill Nye the Science Guy when I first saw him.
Yeah, it looks like him. Yeah, he's got question marks all over his suit. He stands in front of the Capitol building and screams at you about how you can get $250,000 to open a coffee shop and how the government will pay you $5,000 to read a novel. It's just crazy stuff. And, Drew, you don't know anything because you don't know anything, not because you went to college during those years or because you don't stay up at this hour. You're just one of these guys that doesn't notice anything. That's all.
That's true. You're one of these guys that would notice if an ant farted.
Yeah, well, listen, Drew. I mean, Well, here's the thing. You say you're never up, you're never this, you're never that, but what time are you going to get back to the hotel tonight?
2:30.
All right, 2:30. That's late. You might turn the TV on.
I do not do that.
Oh, shut up. All right. How do I get rid of him?
No.
You're lucky, Drew. You're arguing with me. My finger button was on the prowl.
You're right. Okay, I'm at your mercy.
All right, now quiet down.
Yes, Mr. Crowley.
Now, who are we going to talk to?
Mr. Crowley, you have to operate the board tonight.
All right.
Yes, sir, Mr. Crowley.
I'm going to press the, upper panel.
Yeah, upper panel, that's right.
All right. We got a woodworking question, but I'm going to save him for a little later. Let's talk to Erica, who's 26. Erica? What's up?
I have a question about anal sex.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what is in that area, I guess, in the cavity, if it's possible to do any damage when
what is in the cavity? No one's ever asked the question that way, I don't think.
No.
Because I'm thinking of in terms of, like, I mean, I know basic A&P, and I feel like it's kind of a stupid question, but I've never had anal sex before.
Mm-hmm.
And aside from the obvious fears, you know, of it hurting or whatever, I'm kind of concerned that something might get damaged in there.
No, it's not as though there's an organ waiting to be punctured, but you can rip the anus, you can tear the rectum, you can cause fissures and things that could permanently impair the function of that area.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen all the time, but it can happen.
Well, it doesn't happen 1% of the time.
Get your guts poked out or something.
Really?
No. Depending on who the guy is, but the spleen is a good 14 inches away from there.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, good. Oh, good times. That's good.
Yeah.
And one other question, actually, since I have you guys on the phone. One position that my boyfriend likes, and I guess it's because he can get in a little bit deeper when we're having sex, I'm on my back, and he likes my legs to be, I guess, I don't know how to describe it, I guess up in the air, but with the heel of my foot on his shoulders.
Yeah, all right.
Damn, bitch.
Yeah, we got that.
And he's on his knees.
Right.
Can he, sometimes it hurts, and I know the obvious answer is if it hurts, then stop. So sometimes I do stop him, and sometimes it feels okay, but I'm wondering if he can damage anything in there.
You know, why do you sound like you're talking about, like, your stereo equipment or something? It's your body we're talking about here.
I know. I guess I just feel kind of funny, like, saying, I don't know, because I feel funny talking to strangers about it.
Yeah, but what's the fixation on damaging things in these areas? I mean, you've taken anatomy classes, right?
Yeah.
All right, so you know what's going on.
I don't know. I guess because I've never been with somebody that of his size, and I just wonder sometimes if...
Oh, he's a big...
Sometimes I feel like it's poking the pit of my stomach, like it's in there, like deep.
Wow.
How about get him to come back a little bit? Adam, the grommet, the lump grommet.
All right, yeah. Drew, what's wrong with your connection? Why are you so much worse than the people who call this show?
Are you on a cell phone, Drew?
Yeah, I am.
You're such a fool, Drew.
Hey, I was trying to hook up the computer with the other phone.
All right, we're going to hang up, and we'll get you on a regular phone, please.
All right.
Oh, my God, Drew.
Just call back the number.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Wait, all right. What? You didn't want to get on a landline? What? What is this? And why didn't you guys ask him if he was on that? I know you did, but you just wouldn't think anyone would be that stupid as to pick up a cell phone.
This was just so last minute, the whole thing.
Oh, all right.
To the last minute.
All right. Drew's such an idiot. Greg.
Yeah.
You're 42.
Right.
We're going to talk a little carpentry while Drew's dialing the show back up.
It's about time.
You're a carpenter yourself?
I was a I hung doors for a living 10 years ago, and I know more about doors than the people that say they're carpenters that call you.
Well, that's easy, because anyone who calls the show doesn't know anything about anything ever. I don't care what they profess to do. They never know it.
So I'm ready. You can quiz me. I haven't reviewed doors or anything. I'm going off my memory.
You want a quiz, huh?
Sure.
All right.
I didn't study either.
All right. Now
I can ask you a question.
Can it only be doors?
That was my specialty, actually.
All right. All right, let me ask
that's
you.
That's what you always bring up is doors.
Well, I brought it up last night, but no, that's not all I always bring up.
Well, I know a little bit about everything else.
Mm.
You are the patron saint of
Let me ask
carpenters.
You. Thank you, Greg. What would be a standard reveal for some casing on a door jamb?
Oh, that's a casing question.
Yeah, see that? I went a little outside the door,
yeah,
but go ahead.
Did. That's a trick question. I used to use the standard, like, 3-inch wide teardrop shape.
Yeah, but that's the type of casing. I want to know the reveal, the setback.
Oh, okay. About an eighth inch.
All right.
The very most.
All right. Yeah. Now, you ask me a question. I'll see if I can.
Have you ever heard of a butt gauge?
No.
See, that's...
But there's different gauges. It's, you know, there's regional things here. Drew's back, by the way.
I'm back.
Ever heard of a butt gauge? Well, I know there's butts and miter. You know, I know what a butt joint is.
They call hinges butts.
Well, yeah, I know they call hinges butts. They got a strike side and a butt side. But then what's a butt gauge?
The butt gauge, you set it for the hinge on the jamb.
Whatever.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty exciting stuff.
Oh, the template?
No, and I used to chisel all my hinges in, too, and I got a real kick out of it when you said that people just screw their hinges right to the jamb. That's always a beautiful sign of workmanship.
All right. Well, what's a butt gauge, quickly?
When you put the hinge up in the door jamb, before you hang the door itself, the slab door, you would set that to the backstop, and on the backside of the gauge, it automatically set the hinge setting for the door so it didn't bind when it closed.
Oh.
This guy sounds like an actual craftsman, Adam.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, Adam knows what he's talking about. I can tell by the way he talks about doors.
Thank you. I have a great love of doors. No, we never used any butt gauges. I could talk doors all day long with Greg, but butt gauge. But I think I rented that. But Dr. Drew's back, and now Dr. Drew's on a landline, right, Drew?
Does that sound better?
Sounds marginally better.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you didn't think about that before with your cell phone, huh?
We had so many phones going simultaneously trying to get these problems fixed, you can't even imagine.
All right.
I couldn't tell what the hell phone I was on.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Yeah. The fact that it was the size of a thimble and had no cord on it wasn't a clue, huh?
Yeah. That once again.
All right, Drew.
Tommy Vu, never seen it.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Didn't know what phone he was on. All right, well, you sound a lot better now. So
all
let's...
Right,
let's move forward and see who we get here. Let's talk to Shannon, who's 17. Shannon?
Yeah.
What's up?
I have a question for you, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of debating on whether I should mess with this 14-year-old since I'm 17.
Yeah.
Should I?
I don't know. This sounds bogus to me.
Yeah. No question.
No. Okay.
Yeah, don't. Leave her alone.
Drew, where are you calling from?
The Club La Vila here in Panama City.
Right.
There's a radio station right in the middle of this club. You and I were here years ago, remember?
Yeah. Seems like a loud place to do a radio show from.
Well, it's a sound booth.
Uh-huh. Are you inside of that sound booth?
Yeah. Why, are you hearing sound?
Well, yeah, but maybe that's why they call it a sound booth. There's a constant sound of a loud crowd in the background drinking.
Maybe I should go back on the cell phone.
Well, it seems like you ought to just go back to your hotel and pick up the phone.
You're probably right.
Yeah. Nothing gets past you, Drew. How far...
We're still trying to fix this studio.
Ah, it's never going to work. How You on the phone line isn't too bad, if you're just sitting in your room. How far is your room from where you are now?
10-15 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
Why don't we, why don't you make a mad dash for your hotel room right now?
I don't have a car here.
No, I mean run.
Oh, okay.
I mean physically run.
Okay. Yeah.
You
take more than 10 minutes, though.
Okay. Well, I thought you said 10-15.
Yeah, in a car.
I know, but where's your car, Drew? Hold on a second. Wait a minute. Drew, why is it you don't have a car?
Because the woman that dropped me off said she'd come back at 2.
Uh-huh. Well, you're going to need to get a ride from one of those drunken club goers now.
All right. How about if I just go across the street to a payphone?
I got a better idea. Why don't you call a cab so you can get a nice $12 fare and ask for $7 back.
$8 back. $7 back, yeah.
No, 7. You gave the guy a dollar.
Yeah.
Let's be fair. All right, Drew, what do you think about wrangling a ride back to your hotel?
That's what you think I should do.
I think that's what you should do, because there's too much ambient noise there. Or maybe they have some sort of office or something upstairs. Yeah, that would work.
No sound. All right, during the break, they can take me up there, all right?
Okay.
All right, let's finish this segment.
That sounds good, Drew.
All right,
so let's keep moving on the phones here. We'll speak to Linda, who's 22. Linda?
Yes.
You got a pierced nipple?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's been giving me some trouble for the last 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to see the doctor when it first started giving me trouble.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean trouble? What's the problem?
Excuse me, I can't hear Drew.
Drew can't hear Drew because there's a limbo contest going on in the background.
Sounds like fun.
What the? Hold on. You know what that is? They're saying there's a DJ booth in the middle of the dance floor. They're talking about senior Handy, who's going to be mixing up the cool sounds. They're not talking about doing a radio broadcast,
senior
right?
Handy? No, this is a radio studio.
Radio? No.
Yeah.
How could it be? They're not doing news out of that station, are they?
No.
No, it's like it's party people's Saturday Night Live show where they go out there and they're like, hey, and everybody goes, and then they play some music, right?
You got me.
Well, how come nobody sussed that out?
I just nobody's more pissed off than I am.
I don't know. I think Anderson's more pissed off than you are, but
no, Elvis might be.
Elvis is. Linda?
Yes.
All right. So anyway, you went to the doctor.
Been to the doctor repeatedly, been on several courses of antibiotics, and get off the antibiotics a week to a month later, it shows signs of infection draining, usually a pale green.
Have they cultured it?
Yes, she cultured it. She said it was a staph infection. She didn't tell me what kind of staph infection.
Have you taken the piercing out?
Yes, the piercing's been out for about 2 years.
You know, for years?
2 years.
2 years. Piercing is not without its complications. I mean, some people get abscesses from their tongue that can track into their brain. People get permanent scarring and bleeding and infections.
All right, so
it's a foreign body in your soft tissue. It can be a disaster.
Do you have any kids?
Why the antibiotics haven't worked? No, I don't have any.
Okay. Why haven't the antibiotics worked?
Possibly
Drew?
Because you may need some surgical debridement. You made it some infection. The antibiotics can't get to the site of infection. You have to actually surgically go in there and clean everything out.
What's debridement?
Cutting it out.
All right.
And that's going to be a mess.
All right. We need to debreed you from the center of that club and get you up to the office where all the Coke deals go down.
All right. Good.
All right. All right. So we're going to do that, Drew.
All right.
I gotta find out how you got talked into doing the broadcast from the middle of this club in Panama City.
Yeah.
All right, we'll figure that out. Hey, Drew?
Yeah.
You gotta take a chill pill, buddy. Now, come on. It's all good, right?
Yeah, good times.
Yeah, good times. Drew's in Panama Beach. What do they call it? Panama Beach City? Panama City Beach?
Panama Beach City. Panama City, Florida.
Panama City, Florida. All right. He's there because someone dropped a nickel. And we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. I'm Adam Carolla. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. My partner and on-again, off-again lover, Dr. Drew, is out in Panama City in Florida.
What do you mean off-again?
you're talking about?
Well, Drew, after that debacle with the cell phone, I got to tell you, that does not make me moist. Okay? I am not impressed. Not impressed.
How is it sounding now?
It sounds much better.
All right.
That's one of those lines chicks use in movies, but I don't think they've ever used it off a movie set where, like, the girl looks at the guy when the date is going bad because he's part Teen Wolf, and they look at him and they go, I am not impressed.
You know what, though? They say that to one another.
Oh, I see.
That's the kind of S, that's girl talk.
Not impressed, S?
Yeah, he didn't impress me.
Has that been an issue for you ever with a woman, whether she's impressed you or not, Drew?
No, but I'm sure it's been an issue for them as far as I'm concerned.
Well, anyway.
Look, you look at you.
Yeah. What the hell's that mean? Here's the point.
You're not moist, that's what that means.
That's right. I'm not impressed, therefore I'm not moist. Drew is in Panama City. Now, Drew, you're at a big club over there.
Yeah.
Is that the one with the big pylons holding the place up?
Yeah, it's like multi-levels of pool outside. Remember Aerosmith played at the poolside last time we were here?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes, he did. Yep, that was back in 74. I think Crocus opened for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good time. Good time. So is it crazy over there? When is spring break? Is it this weekend?
This is it. This is peak spring break week, isn't it? Yeah, this is it. This is the week.
All right. So plenty of crazy teenagers running around with their tops up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah?
Yeah.
People getting loaded.
Yeah.
You're going to get out of that club. Isn't it 3 hours there?
2 hours.
Oh, it's 2 hours.
Yeah.
In that part of Florida. Florida gets to 3 hours somewhere, doesn't it?
About 10 miles east of here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, so I was close. So you're going to be leaving there about 2 a.m., right?
Yep.
Yeah, so you're probably going to have to resuscitate some teens that have done some acts.
I passed my cards. I had to charter a jet and have them sent back to my drug unit. Seriously.
Yeah, you know what you ought to do?
I could run a detox unit in this office. I'd get some IV poles set up. We could be detoxing these kids all night.
No, you know what you ought to do? You ought to have something that says, like, Dr. Drew's party bus on it, and it says, like, free GHB, and then every drunken teen that stumbles onto it, you just lock them in, and it's bound for Pasadena.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Right into the drug unit.
Oh, my God. I want those transport planes that we were talking about last night. Just roll the buses right on into that plane and take off.
That's right. Big C-130. Drop them over Iraq. Be the new 21,000-pound bomb.
That's right.
All right. Do we really need to test that bomb, by the way?
Yeah.
Give me a worst-case scenario. We drop it on Iraq. It doesn't go off. Its weight is so great that it takes out 40 or 50 structures. It never spark comes from it. Really? Can't we just go back to the drawing board? All right. How often do we test the bombs that don't work, by the way?
Good question.
I mean, you never see...
By the way, how much did it cost?
To test it?
Yeah.
About the same. Well, it's like saying, how much does it cost when they crash one of those Land Rovers at 40 miles an hour in the consumer test? It's like, well, here's how much it costs. Go down to the Land Rover dealer. That's how much it costs. Costs as much as a new one, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah.
Here's the deal.
How many of those do we have that we can start wasting them out over the Pacific somewhere?
Well, it's ironic that it's like, you know, it's funny. I never really thought about it, but it's like there's Hiroshima and there's Nagasaki, and we're the only country to ever detonate nuclear devices on foreign soil. Meanwhile, we've blown up 700 on our land that were 70 times as powerful, 700 times as powerful as those ones. So what kind of genius is that? We've been bombing ourselves for the last 50 years.
All right. Is those drugs talking again?
All right, maybe it is.
Do you remember last night's show, by the way?
No, I don't have much recollection of the day.
I should have called the PD. You should
Please.
Not have been driving like that.
How dare you?
You were so nice.
I've driven in much worse condition
you
than that, Drew.
You were so pleasant.
Well, I'd lost my will to fight.
Oh, my God.
They strap a man down in a seat for 3 hours and yank his soul out through his gums. Yeah. He's going to lose some fight.
Wow. Very nearly.
Time flies when you're on Vicodin.
Yeah, that was Paul Rodriguez. All right, tomorrow night, Joe Millionaire is going to be in here, Evan Marriott. So we'll talk to him about stuff he's probably been talked to about for about the last 3 months.
Yeah.
But don't worry, I'm going to give it my unique spin. You know how I come up with that, Drew?
How?
No preparation.
Yeah.
That's my key to success.
And I've been studying that diligently.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. So now you're in the office of this club, and we can go to the phones, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to just start going down the line here and see what we end up with. Colin?
Yes.
You're 27?
Yes.
Where are you calling from? The same club? He's in the DJ booth at the same club where you work, Drew.
I just left him.
He got a cell phone and went back into the booth. All right, so Colin, what are you, in your bathroom?
No, I'm not. I'm actually in my room.
Ah, hardwood floors?
Carpet, actually.
Wow. Got to put some padding under that carpet.
Yeah.
What's your question, buddy?
For some reason, each time or after I would have sex, the day after the shaft of my penis would actually chafe, or the skin would split.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have some sort of, just chafe. It's like it would be chafed.
Like. All right. Maybe you have a yeast infection.
Or even after I masturbate.
Mm-hmm.
If I would refrain from doing any of that for about a week and a half or 2 weeks, and nothing's ever happened.
Uh-huh.
Is it every time you irritate the skin, it breaks open?
Right.
Did you ever have one time where it was really bad, like when it first developed? Was it a lot of sort of ulceration?
Well, some sort of swelling on the skin.
Because it really kind of sounds like herpes. Herpes, there's some people...
doesn't sound like herpes.
No, some people when they get herpes, it's primarily ulcerating. And part of that syndrome can be whenever they irritate it, like even with soap and then washcloth, it'll break out every time.
But it doesn't sound like he's ulcerating. It just sounds like it's dried.
The skin would split. That's kind of
splitting open. That's in a little ulcer forming.
Yeah. All right. Does it have red bumps or ulcers on it?
No, nothing.
Well, but a split is an ulcer. The skin is open.
Yeah, a split is an ulcer. But if something dries out, it can split. Not.
That's pretty much what it was happening. Actually, it would dry out and it would split. This is after having either sex or after masturbating a day after.
Every time?
Yeah.
That sounds weird.
You need to see a dermatologist.
All right. Good
you
times.
Really
go see a dermatologist. I don't know what the hell that is. We never really had that. But then again, people don't do good jobs of describing things to us, do they, Drew?
No, not dermatologic things. It's like impossible.
All right. Let's talk to Chester, Stevie. Stevie's a female. Yeah, let's talk to Stevie. Stevie, you're 17.
Yeah.
What's up? Uh-oh.
Yeah.
When I was 15 years old, my uncle...
Four. She was four. Something happened.
Right.
No.
What happened at 15?
When I was 15 years old, my uncle tried to rape me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now him and my aunt are getting a divorce, but she's actually... thinking about taking him back.
Sure. Who could leave all that? What did he do? How did he try to rape you and not succeed?
Okay, well, what happened was he had told me that he wanted to spend time with me alone,
sure.
Like to bond or whatever, and I thought it was okay because he was my uncle and he wouldn't do anything like that. But he told me not to tell my parents, so I was kind of like...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was kind of stupid about it, but I was, like, in denial.
Well, but you must have been victimized at some time.
Oh, Drew, quiet down. I want to hear this story first, and then we'll get to that stuff.
Okay.
All right.
And I was in the kitchen, and I remember he grabbed my belt loops and yanked me towards him, and then he just started, like, touching me all over my body and, like, trying to take off my clothes.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. He said he wanted to spend some time with you.
Yeah.
Does that mean, like, sleep over your aunt and uncle's house, or
like he just wanted to hang out with me, like just to get to know each other better.
Just at his house?
Yeah.
Okay.
And my cell phone actually went off, and I was like, "Oh, I gotta go." And then like it was weird, like oh no, then it just was over.
Okay.
He was just like, and like just don't tell your parents about what happened because they wouldn't understand.
Yeah. All right, but I don't know. I mean, I understand that's lecherous behavior, and your aunt should probably not get back with him. But I don't know if that goes down as an attempted rape.
Mm-hmm.
But now let's get back to Drew's first question,
right,
which is what happened when you were young?
When I was, actually his stepson, like, molested me for a long time. So, like, from when I was, like, four.
Ooh,
Adam.
Drew said four.
Thank you very much.
And Drew, by the way, I was always with you on the something happened earlier. I just wanted to hear what the story was we were talking about before we got back to it. But, yep, Drew screamed she sounded 4 years old at the beginning of the call. So, actually, it was even better or worse or whatever. Stevie said something happened, and Drew said when you were four, and something did happen when you were four.
Yep.
And that was your step, you say your stepbrother?
Or she was four, something happened.
Drew.
That was actually my uncle's stepson.
Your uncle's stepson.
Same uncle?
Yeah.
Oh, what a delight.
Who got to him, though? The dad got to him, probably.
Oh, who knows. So he molested you when you were four for how long?
Till I was like 11.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my goodness.
And did you see them a lot? Did you spend a lot of time over there?
Yeah. My aunt, his mom would babysit me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and so he would come along.
All right. Let's try to get to some solutions here.
Okay. Is he an older kid?
My cousin's like 26 right now.
Your step cousin.
Yeah.
Like 9 years older.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's pretty substantial.
Yeah.
All right. So where's he, by the way? Dead in jail, working construction, a publicist. Which is it?
He's in jail right now.
He's in jail.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. So Stevie, your family is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's fine. You, as far as your uncle getting back together with your aunt,
don't worry about that.
Don't get involved with that.
Yeah.
She screwed up. She chose a path in life. She made her bed. Now she's got to get molested in it. That's her business. Don't get involved. Well, I think it's perfectly fine for you to tell her, you know, by the way, you should know this about this guy. I don't think you have to say it was an attempted rape. I think you can just basically say what happened and let her draw her own conclusions. Would you agree with that, Drew?
Yeah.
And she can certainly factor that into her, you know, list of reasons why she should or shouldn't get back with the guy. Hopefully
more
shouldn't.
Our caller needs to get some treatment or something.
Yes. So, Stevie, what about a little therapy for you?
I was in therapy for, like, a long time, but I was kind of scared that if I told her, mm-hmm. she would tell my parents. And
You've got to talk about it. This is a major, major issue for you. You've got to be able to do it.
And what about your relationships now? Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
Okay. Why? You scared of guys?
Yeah, I'm scared that they'll just hurt me.
Good. I mean, I don't mean good, but I mean better than just being pregnant and being passed around from guy to guy.
Yes, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good instinct. All right, so you're 17, you're smart, you're senior in high school.
Yeah, I'm a junior.
Oh, junior in high school. Yeah. All right, maybe not that smart.
Do you live with your parents?
But the point is, what? Do you live at home?
Yeah.
Okay, and how are your parents?
They're all right. I mean, they're pretty strict, but other than that, they're good parents.
Okay, are you going to go off to college somewhere?
Hopefully, I don't know yet.
I mean, why don't you try to get your grades going, watch out for the guys, don't get pregnant, and get some therapy. I mean, you have to. You got molested from 4 to 11. Those are the prime years, right, Drew?
Oh, that just has such a profound effect on her development.
Yeah.
I mean, she really, thank God she has good parents. That's probably why she's kind of keeping it together such as it is.
Yeah. All right. All right.
Good times.
Yeah, good times. Let's lighten the mood. No. Carpentry challenge. Butch?
All right. Yeah.
You're 52.
That's right.
You're a carpenter. You have a challenge question for me.
Okay.
All right.
When you install your doors, do you bevel both sides or you just bevel the strike side?
I bevel the strike and the butt side.
Good job.
Butch, I find it prevents binding.
You know I like I mean? That way, too, myself.
I've just put a couple degrees on the strike and the butt side.
All right.
Gotta admit, Butch didn't always do it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people don't.
No, they cut corners. What kind of planer you like?
Geez, I haven't even hung a door for a while. I use an electric planer.
Electric. You a Porter Cable man?
Yes, I love Porter Cable.
Yeah, that's a nice item.
What is that?
Yeah, the Porter Cable was the planer that the hobo ripped off from my grandmother's shed that she never gave me back.
That was your prize instrument.
Yeah, if anybody wants just a little insight to my family, I was living in some crappy apartment in North Hollywood, probably my 23, 24 years old, living in this crappy apartment. had a bunch of tools because I was working as a carpenter, but couldn't keep them. I would have to keep them inside of my apartment or truck them out of my truck. I couldn't leave them in my truck. I couldn't leave them anywhere because they get stolen. So I put them over my grandparents' in essentially their shed, which is sort of inside their house. And my prized possession was my Porter Cable door plane, $220, and that was back in the day. One day I went over there to grab it to do a job, opened the case, which was still brand new, and there was nothing inside of it. And I said, what happened? Someone stole this out of the case. So I said to my grandmother, what happened? Was somebody here? Somebody stole my door plane. And she said, well, I hired this bum who was just walking around to rake up some leaves a couple days ago. He must have stolen it. And I said, yeah, he did. And she said, yep. Well, what are you going to do?
Oh.
And that was the last Porter Cable door plane I had.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not going to pay for half. What are you going to do? What a delightful cheap
was there any? There must have been some. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Anything?
What do you mean? It was my fault for leaving it at her house. Drew, you know, if I didn't want it ripped off, I could have brought it up into my apartment.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Good times. Yeah, good times. Great people. All right, what are we going to do, Drew? I think we're going to take a break.
Fair enough.
You doing all right over there?
I'm great. How am I sounding?
Yeah, what's that office like you're in?
I actually wanted to describe it to you.
Tony Montero's office.
There is a Sambuca peppermint schnapps and a James Harbor rum. Wait, Beam's 8-star Kentucky whiskey blend.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3 ashtrays filled to the brim with Old Butts.
Really?
And just,
true with the S word, everybody.
I hope we're on delay even still doing it this way.
It's okay to use the S word if you're describing a Florida decor.
They're just there's stuff strewn all over the desk. There's a Miller Genuine Draft plastic rendition of a bottle.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, it's a good time.
All right, buddy. Black carpet, because that's a touch of class there.
No, it's kind of a gray weave.
Okay. Well, hang tight there, buddy.
All right.
Have one of those drambuies, and we'll take a break, and we'll come right back.
All right.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. Dr. Drew is, love that, yep. Good riff there by the All-American Rejects. Dr. Drew is in Panama City doing a little work spring break time with Trojan condoms. And he was set up at a studio there that was in the middle of the dance floor of a club. Sounded ill-conceived from the start to me, but as it turns out, everything worked out. No, as it turns out, it didn't work out so well. So they moved him around a couple times. He got on a cell phone, then he got on a landline. And now I hear he has a microphone. But actually, I don't hear it from him. I just hear it from our people. But they're working it out over here, the crack engineer team over at Westwood One. And we're going to have him up in just a second. So let's see. Let me go to the phones in the meantime and speak to Mike, who's 24. Mike?
Yeah, hey, Adam.
What's up?
Hey, I just have a question about marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, do you have any idea what the right age is for that? I mean, if you could do it over again, would you wait till you're, you know, maybe 30 or...
Say maybe my 60s.
Really?
No. I think there's sort of a minimum and kind of a maximum that I wouldn't go past either way, but in between that, it's kind of up to you, depending on where your career is, where you live, what you want out of life, you know, all that stuff. I mean, I wouldn't get married before 25 as a guy, but I wouldn't get married over 40 either if you wanted to have some kids and do that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And, but there's a few variables, like, you know, have you, finished college, or were you going to college? How's the career going? Do you want kids? I'll ask you all these questions, Mike.
Well, I just graduated from college about a year ago.
Uh-huh. And what do you want to do career-wise?
I'm in sales, actually.
And is that where you want to be?
I don't know. It's kind of tough to tell.
So you're a little bit undecided.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is I talk to so many guys that are, you know, in their 60s, 70s, even 80s, and they say that, you know, if they could do it over again, they would wait till they're 30, even sometimes 40 to get married.
30 is the perfect age to get married. 30 to 33.
Everybody would wait. I told them minimum.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Drew.
Okay, good. How's the sound?
It sounds much better.
Thank you. 30 to 33, I think, is the age. You know, the nice thing about late 20s, though, is I'll tell you something. Now that my kids are 10, I'm getting tired. You know what I mean? As you hit your
mid-40s. Yeah, well, they're a pain in the ass, those kids.
But I mean, as you hit your mid-40s, you don't have the kind of stamina you had. I wish I were like 8 years or 6 years younger just to be able to keep up with my kids.
Drew, let me explain something about Drew's waning stamina. When we were in North Carolina all last week, every night we'd work until 3 a.m., come home, go to bed at 4, have the car pick us up at 9 o'clock, go on the set, come back at about 8 o'clock at night, and Drew wanted to hit the gym before dinner. I was like, Drew, aren't you running on fumes? Aren't you exhausted? He's like, well, then I'm going for a run. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to go drink in my room and hopefully pass out. You wake me for dinner. So, Drew, I think your stamina's fine.
It's not as good as it used to be, though. I mean, but let me tell you something. Keeping up with kids.
Yeah, the ferret doesn't have the kind of stamina that you used to have, Drew. But you do pretty good, you know. You move around pretty good, buddy. All right, so, Mike.
Yeah.
The point is if you have to call a radio show and ask them if you're ready to get married, you're probably not ready to get married.
I agree with that.
All right. And he just graduated from college, hasn't really got his career on track yet. And as a guy, you want to get your career on track.
That is the thing about guys. When women think that they can somehow convince a guy to get married, and for women it's more a choice about who the person is. For men, it's about, are they ready?
Right.
Are they at a time in their life when they've done what they need to do, and now they're ready?
Right.
A lot of guys regret having let some of these women go by. You know, they've left some behind that they wish they were with.
Yeah. I wish some of my exes would have went by. Then I could have watched them getting on with these chicks.
Oh, for God's sake.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's it.
Chester?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
Your dad's an alcoholic?
Aflac.
That's nice.
He did the Aflac duck thing and then hung up. You know, it's so funny. I didn't like Chester's question, but I saw it was on hold for 30 minutes, and the closest person to him was like 11 minutes, and I thought, let's give Chester a break.
Trust your instincts.
Now I curse Chester. All right, let's talk to Nina, who's 20. Nina?
Yeah, hello.
You got a 40-year-old coworker?
Yep.
And, you want to have a lesbian relationship with her?
No.
Oh, she wants to have a lesbian relationship with you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh. Is she your boss?
No, she's not a boss.
Is she same level as you are, or under you, or?
She's higher than me.
Yeah.
But she's not over you specifically.
No.
Okay. So to speak.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay. And are you attracted to her?
No.
And you're not a lesbian yourself?
No.
Oh. Well, this seems kind of far-fetched then, doesn't it?
Well, no.
What's the question?
What is the question?
Well, I'm a woman, and just like
really?
Any other woman, I have, you know,
needs?
I have fantasies about other women.
Right.
But, not like this. I've had a threesome.
Oh, boy.
But not with, you know, someone who's older than me. And if it was a coworker who was younger and more attracted to me and was cute, then maybe I would have considered it. But she's older. She has a son.
I see.
And she's lesbian, and she calls me her lesbian recruit. And
right, hold on a second. Oh, that's nice. Drew, you ever been anyone's lesbian recruit?
I, when I was younger, I tried.
I enlisted in the lesbian army out of high school, but I never was recruited. I just went straight in.
I visited their boot camp.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah, I did.
I don't think it's boot camp. I think it's sandal camp. But
yeah.
All right. So Nina's basically calling to tell us that there's a 40-year-old chick that's not very attractive who likes her in her office, and that if she was younger and more attractive, Nina could see herself having a fling with her. But she's old and unattractive, so Nina's not going to have a fling with her.
I don't know why she's calling us.
Yeah. I don't know how. I haven't denied her. I've been, you know, I don't know what to say.
You've just been kind of giggling and changing the subject.
Exactly.
And is she getting more aggressive?
Well, she keeps saying, oh, I know I'm flirting with you, I'm crossing the line, but oh, I don't want to scare you. And I said, oh, no, you're not scaring me. And she says, oh, well, you know, I'm being a little flirtatious, you know. I'm like, oh, that's okay. She's like, it's flattering, right? And I said, yeah, it's flattering. It really is, because I'm not attracted to her.
Why are you calling?
Because I want to know what I should say to her.
Well, so you're saying that the lesbian horse is out of the lesbian barn a little bit, and you're having trouble pushing it back in. You know what you need to do? I think you should start with just the basic blow-off, which is, you know, she starts chatting you up, and you say, listen, Broomhilda, I'm really busy right now. Can we get back to this? Whatever the popular lesbian name is for the older lesbian. I think it's still Broomhilda. But the point is whenever anyone is doing anything that you don't really like, see if you can avoid the full-blown confrontation and start just to sort of blow them off. You know, don't call them back. And they say stuff like, we're getting together for margaritas on Friday, and you go, yeah, I got to do something else. You just kind of keep moving. Yeah.
Isn't it interesting, Adam, though, how some people can't sort of set boundaries with people? It's like people that can't say no, people sort of come under the spell of other people, and they just kind of keep moving. You know, wherever that person needs them to go, they kind of go along with it. Well, what is that?
It's low self-esteem.
I think it is.
Yeah, bad parenting. All right, Drew, hang on over there.
Why?
Because we got to take a break.
All right, is it sounding okay?
You sound like $1 million.
Oh, God bless you.
All right. I mean pesos. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. Dr. Drew is over there in Panama City, Florida tonight.
Yes, sir.
Now, Panama City, is that an island? It's not an island.
It's like an isthmus, sort of, isn't it?
Yeah, just sort
peninsula.
Of sticks out into the water there.
Exactly.
And now, what do you got cooking tomorrow there, Drew?
I'm doing a big event at this same club for the Trojan Company. Basically, the things I do at college is just answer questions, that sort of thing.
Now, you perform fellatio on a cucumber that's been covered with a Trojan condom. That's what I hear.
Well, yeah.
It's not just fellatio this year.
Well,
I see.
I can't.
I see.
You know, you have to come see the event to really get the full effect.
Yes, that's Siegfried and Roy do not describe how they do their tricks on the radio.
Right.
I understand.
Right.
You must come see the show.
That's right.
All right, so people are going to come there, and what time does the presentation start?
I believe it's a 2 o'clock. Thank you for promoting this, but they're not going to hear this till tomorrow night after the event.
All right, but I'm curious anyway. I don't look at this morning.
I believe it's 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yeah, it's an afternoon. They have things going all the time here.
Mm, man. And you
it seems crazier than we were here in 96.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
You want to hear how my career's going, Drew?
Tell me.
Yeah, got a call from my buddy Joy over at Wicked Pictures. You remember Joy, sort of attractive blonde.
I do remember her. Yeah.
Wears glasses, looks like a porn secretary.
Right, right.
And, you know, she's like in the movies. You know, that's always funny when you watch a porn movie every once in a while and the guy walks into some bad office and the secretary's sitting behind the counter and you're like, is he going to nail her? And then the other chick comes into the room and he's like, oh, no, he's going to get her. And then it's like, wait a minute, I bet he gets both of them. Yeah, because now you can't do a porn movie where there's a chick in it who doesn't get nailed. But it would be an interesting concept. But anyway, she doesn't do porn. But her name.
They're having a convention. They're having a convention in Los Angeles. And they. Oh, all right.
All right. There you go, Drew. Wrong as usual.
All right.
She doesn't do porn. She does work for a porn company. She is attractive. And her name is Joy King, which can be a normal name, but also sounds a little bit like the name of a vibrator. But the point is she calls me today and she goes, listen, we're doing a series. We thought of you. It's always bad. It's sort of like when they say, you look just like this, my friend, and then you see the friend and the guy's a slob. Or they say, yes. I want to set you up with my friend, and then you see the chick and she's a pig. And you're like, well, wait a minute. How do you view me? But she says, we got a project we're talking about, and you're the first person we thought of for it. It's a series of it's an infomercial. It's called Porn Bloopers.
Oh my God!
Now it's basically girls gone wild, but porn bloopers. We're going to be selling it late night, and I'm like, you want me to host the commercial for Porn Bloopers? I'm just like. Yeah, yeah, what do you say? And I'm like, well, you know, I rarely say no to anything. But as a matter of fact, when I told this to Jimmy, he said, hey, it's the first time you ever said no to anything other than to something that, you know, was a liver-based product. I'm not a big fan of that. But professionally, first time I ever said no. But told her I got a deal pending with ABC and, you know, them being a Disney company and everything. I probably wouldn't be crazy about me hosting the Porn Bloopers late-night infomercial.
But you got a
sandwich in between Tommy Fu and the guy with the question marks.
Yeah.
On his suit.
Well, that's, you know, that's what you aspire to. You those, them's your peeps.
I do love a porn blooper, I gotta say. And I did rent Porn Bloopers once in a fit of desperation and turned out to be a little disappointing. But no, that's all I need is 2 hours of Ron Jeremy breaking wind seconds before the money shot. Okay. So we're going to hop back to the phones here, Drew, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what never works on the show. I'm just going to go who's ever been on the hold the longest.
Oh, why? Because you can't take the time to read the damn screen?
Exactamundo.
Oh.
Chris?
Yeah, what's up?
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I just kind of had this, like, I've been kind of depressed lately, and, like, I don't know if, like, the weather or something, and, like, it's, like, affecting the way I think, and, like, getting, like, you know, like, going into porn and stuff, and it's, like, no good.
Yeah. How do you normally think?
Well, I mean, it's, like, I'm just thinking, like...
Cunning and clarity, or...?
No. Cunning and clarity. I mean, I just kind of blurred up, kind of not thinking straight.
You're depressed. You smoke a lot of weed?
No, not at all. No drugs.
No drugs?
No drugs.
No drugs.
No drugs?
Yeah.
And describe this depression to me. What set it off, or anything happened to you?
Nothing's happened. I don't know what's happened. I just all of a sudden, like, I think it's like the weather change. Like,
yeah.
I'm used to like really like sunny areas, and now it's like really like.
Oh, what about one of those grow lights for your face? I mean, Everclear was in here a couple days ago, and Art was talking about having one of those lights for seasonal depression.
It's not an Evergo light, but there are lights that sort of specified intensity that you use for a certain period of time, a couple times a day, and it helps with seasonal affective disorder. But, the suddenness with which you describe this thing makes me worry that there's something medically going on. Have you been feeling okay physically?
Yeah, but I mean, it's like affecting the way I sleep and stuff too.
Yeah, how much porn you watching?
Well, not like it's like the internet.
Yeah, so you're spending too much time doing that.
Yeah, I think so. And I have it like I'm really like picky now. Like I have it down to like I'm really picky. And it's like it's probably even pickier than you would be, Adam.
Picky with your porn?
Yeah.
Adam's not very picky.
No. I have certain criteria. Nude and...
Yeah.
Let's see. Nude was the second one. Is that...
Bouncy.
I mentioned that one already?
Yeah.
All right, Chris.
Yeah.
How about you start doing some push-ups every time you want to go on the internet and look at porn or do something like that?
No, Adam.
Why?
Naive.
Drew, what's wrong? What's wrong with just some good old-fashioned discipline? That's what these kids are missing.
How about every time you
want
to masturbate, you do some push-ups? You think that's going to change anything?
I wouldn't be able to make it through the door, Drew.
That's
upper body would be so large.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to drive my car.
Oh, my.
I'd have to have my shirts modified. It'd be disgusting, Drew. I'd be grotesque. I'd look like that character from Batman, the one, but, I think it was Batman 2. Yeah, the movie.
Why do we both get the strong vibe that this substance is here?
It just seemed like he's smoking a lot of weed, that's all.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't see how you can avoid porn on the internet because I got on the internet tonight. I don't do a whole lot of computerizing myself. I believe it's the devil's tool, but I got on there because I'm doing this Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach, a celebrity race this year, finally. And I was trying to figure out who else is doing it. And I did see a list at one point and realized why they asked me this year. But I got on the internet and I was like, well, let's see. I'll just go to Yahoo, and I punched in, like, Celebrity Grand Prix Toyota and porn sites. Nothing but porn came up. And I'm like, I didn't say fist F or anything. I swear to Christ, I wrote Celebrity Long Beach and Grand Prix. Or Celebrity Long Beach and Toyota, and it was like,
so the celebrity
pow, porn.
Just, celebrity just must pull up the porn stuff.
Right, and then here's what happens. So now it's nothing but porn. And it's like fresh 18-year-olds, nude, getting wild. So I'm like, well, as long as I'm here, might as well punch this up. So I punch that up, and it's like, all right, well, I'm going to get back to finding who's in this Grand Prix. And I hit the little arrow that kicks me back. And it kicks me into another porn site. And then it's just an infinite. Now I'm in porn world. I've been sucked into a porn vortex. I go forward. I go backward. It's nothing but porn, and I can't get it off the computer.
Yeah.
So I beat off six times I beat off Drew. I didn't want to. That's my
anyway, point. He sounds depressed. He sounds like he's getting into sexual compulsions. He sounds like he's been doing some substances.
All right. Well, what about one of those grow lights?
I don't think that will do it for old... our caller. What's his name?
His name was Chris.
Chris.
All right.
Chris.
Well, then what? Chris see a physician?
Yeah, he really needs an evaluation. Also, that suddenness, it sounds... Sometimes medical problems, even like thyroid conditions, that kind of thing, can bring on depression. He certainly deserves a workup to make sure it's not something else.
All right. Let's talk to David, who's 31. David?
Hey, how's it going, Adam?
Good. What's going on?
My question has to do with, I'm feeling a relationship budding between myself and a developmentally disabled female.
Ooh.
I've known on and off for about a year and a half now.
Easy pickings. Well, how old is she?
She's 26.
26.
How do you know her?
She's down the hall. Her parents live down there. And then every once in a great while, they send her up to live with her grandma. She comes down. We watch NASCAR together. She's really into that. She's about at the junior high, freshman level.
Yeah.
As far as, like, her impulse control is... kind of what makes it stand out. She really doesn't have any, it's not to the disfigurement.
How old is she?
She's 24. 26.
Oh, 26.
26.
And she lives down the hall in your building?
Yes.
Okay. And you want to have a relationship with her, or you want to...
Yeah, I'm thinking about developing it. She's flirting. She's very flirty.
Yeah,
but she's shy because her father...
She's flirty because you got a shiny ring on, and she's attracted to that, nice. Like a trout.
Her father threatens her... I guess she had a bad incident with a guy, and her father always tells her, I have control, and I can put anybody that hurts you or I think is hurting you in big trouble.
All right. Well, let's put her on the back burner for just one second and talk about you, David.
Okay.
You're not... developmentally challenged, right?
No.
Yet you watch NASCAR all day long.
Come on.
Have any excuse for that?
It's interesting. She likes it.
She likes it. I understand where she would like it. I'm understanding where a 31-year-old adult... You're probably the only guy in Santa Cruz that watches NASCAR, by the way. So, now, how's your life going?
I'm doing good.
What are you doing?
I'm a clerk.
You're a clerk? At what kind of place?
A gas station.
Gas station. So everything's going according to plan.
Swimmingly,
yeah. As they say. And you're a simple man, yes?
Yeah.
You have simple needs and simple tastes, yes?
Correct.
You live alone?
Yes.
And you make enough money to pay the bills?
Right.
And you're starting to have genuine feelings for this girl?
Yes.
And you've not had a girlfriend in a while?
Correct.
All Ever? Right.
Ever?
Yes, I've had a girlfriend.
Yes, but it's been quite some time.
Older women.
Older women. Okay.
Oh. Married?
I don't really get along with my age group very well.
I see.
I really I took off and hitchhiked when I should have been doing the whole college age thing.
Right, right. Huh. Okay.
Well, now you're clear.
I don't like complex people, and she's a very simple-minded, direct person.
Right. All right. Well, listen, I'm, and you're not a creepy guy.
No.
And you don't plan on breaking this girl's heart?
No, I don't want to do that. And I want to make it, how should I approach her parents if I should?
Well.
I think that's a great idea. I think talk to the dad. Just say, look, we've been spending time together.
How's the dad doing? First,
he's a bitter guy.
Yeah.
Pretty bitter. He uses her as a sounding board.
Hey, he just yells.
With his problems with the neighbors.
Uh-huh.
Is she developmentally disabled, or is she psychiatrically ill from the abuse of dad?
I've often wondered if that complicates things, but she is learning disabled, diagnosed Down syndrome.
I see. Down syndrome.
Mild Down syndrome.
Mild.
RH blood factor, or whatever that is.
Okay. She's 26 years old. You get the feeling she likes you?
Oh, yeah. She's very comfortable around me.
Okay.
She's out going to everybody.
Right.
And but I noticed that when she's around me, her impulse control is really tame and isn't as rapid as usually is when she's around people.
I want to go to Hawaii! Yay! I want to go to Hawaii!
That's from the Man Cow Show.
Well, I guess they are running that on the Man Cow Show. Hey, but listen, David.
Yes.
I got a little plan for you since you're both sort of adults. Next time you're watching the NASCAR and one of those caution flags comes out, there's a little downtime in the action, how about you put your arm around her and give her a little kiss?
All right.
Yeah?
I think I'll roll with that.
Yeah, I think you should roll with that.
I think that's good, but I do think getting Dad on your side is a great idea.
Yeah,
great idea.
It couldn't hurt. I mean, he works at the filling station. He could certainly, you know, this guy pulls up his 72 Ford F-150, and this guy tops it off, you know, brings out a big grab of Doritos, tells him it's on the house. Nothing wrong with that, huh? Nothing wrong with greasing the wheels just a little bit, eh, Drew?
Yeah.
That sounds like a match made in heaven.
It kind of does. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, if you had to pick somebody for someone that could be easily victimized and exploited.
He seems like a good guy.
Yeah.
And being sort of developmentally in junior high as a female, it doesn't seem like it's going to have too great an effect in your life, is it?
Send those cards and letters, man.
No, I'm just saying, you can have conversations. You can watch NASCAR. You can have conversations about NASCAR, right? Well, I mean, were you retarded when you were 14, Drew?
Yes.
Okay. Well, touche.
I was retarded until I was 29.
Really?
Socially.
Hold on. I knew you. I didn't know you when you were 29.
Yeah.
There was still some retardation when I met you.
Oh, that's my point.
Okay. Let's talk to Reagan. Is that a guy? Reagan?
Hello?
Hey, what's up, Tuts? You're 20.
I am.
What's going on?
My question is, I have an ex-boyfriend of 3 years, and we broke up 7 months ago. We've kept in contact, but about 2 months ago, we started having sex again and hanging out. And I'm wondering, can I win him back that way?
Through having sex?
Yeah.
Probably
no,
not.
What you get is him being willing to continue having sex with you, and that will keep going. That will go on endlessly.
Yeah.
But there will no relate. If he has said to you, you know, if he sort of made it clear that the relationship is over, it is over.
Yeah. Once in a while, some guys sort of, I don't know, on the cusp or something, and, you know, you maintain a relationship, and he ends up drifting back, but I agree with Drew. Not usually with 20-year-old guys.
No, he's having sex. Remember, a guy will have sex with, you know, anybody.
Not whole. That's right.
Okay, but while we were together, I had some serious issues.
Yeah.
And that's why we broke up.
What issues?
Well, I just severe depression, and I ended up actually going into the hospital when he broke up with me. I tried to kill myself.
I'm mostly concerned that if this guy is not planning to get back with you, what kind of guy, knowing that this upsets you that much to be involved with him, would then come on and exploit you, knowing that it's so disturbing, you're so involved, you're so connected to him, that if there was another rupture, you might become suicidal again. What kind of guy is that?
No, but see, I wouldn't. I mean, it was like after going into the hospital and dealing with those issues with therapists and medication and whatnot, I really learned a lot.
Yeah, but I understand that.
Why not just start for? Yes, this guy's a dick.
Yes, thank you.
This guy's a dick. I mean, you were together, you were depressed, you broke up, you became suicidal, you went to the hospital, and now he's just going to see if he can cut himself off a slice once a week.
Thank you. Yes, right.
This guy's a dick.
So you think I should just...
Yeah, just break up with him. What's he do?
Why would you accept an asshole?
What's
like
this guy's name? Craig?
No, Ryan.
Ryan, the number two dick name. Only second to Craig. And what's he do?
He goes to school.
Yeah, I knew it. A schoolboy.
Yeah. He's a full-time student.
Full-time schoolboy. I don't like this kid. I don't like him one bit. This thing stinks. It stinks to high heaven, I tell ya.
Okay,
I just broke into 50s guy, Drew.
Yeah, Pops.
All right, Reagan, break up with him, or you're already broken up with him. Stop having sex with
Stop
him.
He's a despicable asshole.
And just find a decent guy who's going to treat you right, all right?
Thank you.
You're better than that, baby.
I know, but I can't find anyone.
Well, all right, well, then so be it. Then give yourself 6 months to get on your feet emotionally.
Yeah,
take some time off.
Take some time, but I'm sure there are a lot of guys out there. It's just you need that exciting guy, and that's the one that's trouble for you.
Right. And listen, everybody, don't be looking around to see who's going to make you feel what way your whole life. You know, lock yourself in your room and wait to die like I do. Think I care about that stuff, Drew?
I don't think you care about much, Adam. You care about your teeth. Your teeth.
Oh,
no, I beg your pardon, not your teeth, the dentist.
Oh, my God. But you know what? You know what? When I was in that chair and he was squirting my teeth, he was doing it with warm water.
Not only that, I know you were loaded last night when you came in, but you were speaking in glowing terms about the master, the masterful skill with which the dentist approached you.
Well,
and
listen.
The medicines and how delighted you were with the amount of medicines you received.
Well, he did what any decent human being would do with the resources that are available these days, is he drugged me up.
Oh, man, did he?
I mean, this guy, I swear to God, Drew, he gave me 3 or 4 pills. That was just to get started.
So you wouldn't feel the shot.
They gave me 3 or 4 pills. Then he gave me another one to suck on under my tongue. Then he gave me a shot in the ass.
Good time.
I mean, I barely remember the thing.
You did a radio. You drove like that last night, and you did a radio show.
Well, Drew, who says I got to remember how I drove the night before? Does that make me a better driver if I somehow remember how I drove? I know where I'm going. Kidding me? I've told you, I've circled the globe loaded, Drew. I mean, not all at once. I mean, you have to, you know, string it together, you know, to the AM, PM, and back times 10 billion times.
It's a great message, Adam.
It's a great message. Well, look, here's all I'm saying. You kids can't handle it. But Papa Carol over here is a heavyweight.
Oh,
I told my doctor, I said, listen, my wife has one of those teas, like a half a hibiscus tea, and she collapses in the living room.
Keels over.
Heart stops. Not me. You give me a couple of Vicodin, a couple of Bloody Marys, and I'm doing fine. No problem at all.
Yeah. Well.
So, let's juice it up. And he did. God bless him. He listened to me like a good doctor, not like you, Drew.
And I'll just say, you were a hell of a lot nicer, so it's going to be harder for me to say no to you.
I was out like a light. What the hell? The last time I got the surgery done, I just sat there and stared at the ceiling and sweat bullets for 3 hours.
Now you watch Towering Inferno.
I don't even remember. The building wasn't even on fire when I passed out. I just saw the beginning part where Paul Newman and Steve McQueen were talking in huge, huge collared shirts about the color brown.
Nice.
Yeah, that's all they did. And then I fell asleep. OJ was a good guy in that movie.
That's right.
OJ's right. Yeah. Listen, go rent some of those OJ movies, everybody. It's great entertainment. The Jew's sitting there. He's the head of security. He's a horrible, horrible actor.
Yeah.
Horrible actor. So it makes it great. All right, we'll take a little break. Dr. Drew's over there in Panama City, and we'll be right back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew.
Yep.
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew in Panama City, Florida. Mm-hmm. Drew?
Yes, sir. Yes, I am.
Doing good over there, buddy?
Yeah, real good.
Uh-huh. Where you staying? The hotel we were at before? Who's yapping? Who's yapping in the background?
I know, we gotta be quiet here.
Unacceptable.
Who is
trying
that?
To get the computer up. Trying to get the computer up for you.
Oh, what do I need a computer up for? The show's almost over.
So you don't have to read the screen. You
know, all right, but
what a challenge
tell
that
the computer guy to stop voicing his thoughts out loud in your microphone. Does he understand the concept of radio? Well, I'm going to press backslash, and I'll press the Apple button. Then later, I think I'm going to get a soda. Yeah. Diet? Maybe I'll live a little. It's all got to be quiet, Drew.
All right.
All right. All right.
All good.
It's all good. Let's and a guy's got to be loaded, right? It's 1:30 in the morning and you're Panama Beach, right?
Everyone here is loaded.
All right. Let's go to my tried and true method of talking to whoever's on hold the longest. Raven?
Hi.
You're 19?
Yeah.
You want to know how to let go of the past? You had sexual abuse?
Yeah, I did, actually. Well, my grandfather.
Grandfather.
How old were you?
How old? 8, 9?
How old were you when it happened?
It happened between about the age of 6 and it stopped till about 10.
Yeah.
Is he an alcoholic?
Is he an alcoholic? No, he was before I was born, and then he quit for the family.
Quit boozing, put down the bottle, and picked up his granddaughter.
Yeah, exactly.
What a fantastic chap.
Yeah.
It's one of the risks of people not getting into recovery, you know what I mean? Just going ahead and...
just quitting?
Trying to stop, yeah, because there's a lot of consequences to that people aren't sort of... It's hard to predict what people are going to do when they just try to white-knuckle it.
Right. All right.
My question
Do you still talk to him?
Yeah, actually, I do. All
righty.
It's, like, kind of really hard because I haven't told anybody.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, actually, I actually got the courage to tell my dad this past week. Mm-hmm. And they're, like, going to have a talk or whatever about it.
Oof.
Yeah, so, like... Oof. But the thing is that, like, my dad believes me because I'm his daughter. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of hard to believe because that's his dad.
Oh.
So, like, everybody in my family looks at him like, oh, you know, my dad's so great, you know, and everything. And it's really hard to, you know.
To accept it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
How do you feel about people not believing you?
Actually, like, I told my mother about it because she's been in the same situation I have.
Shocking.
With another great-grandfather of mine.
Shocking.
Yeah, shocking.
Yeah, so, like, but the thing is that she believes me. And I guess my dad and her, like, tried to talk about it a few years back. Yeah. But my dad didn't believe it at the time. I guess he just wanted to hear it from me.
Yeah, everybody uses this didn't believe it phrase quite freely when it comes to this stuff. I really don't think it's quite didn't believe you. It's didn't accept it.
Didn't want to believe it. Yeah.
Didn't want to believe it. Didn't want to deal with it.
Uh-huh.
But I'm sure there was a part of him, especially knowing what your mom has been through, that believed it. Okay, and this went on for a number of years.
Uh-huh.
And what kind of sexual abuse? I mean,
like grabbing me, touching me, you know.
But he didn't have intercourse with you.
No, he didn't. No.
All right.
That would probably, you know.
Yeah, and is he married still?
Yeah, he's married to my grandma. They've been married like forever.
Oh, really? Like what, 40 years or something?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
God bless him. God bless him. You don't hear about that often anymore.
Yeah, actually, okay. Like 50 maybe.
That's wonderful. Hope he dies.
Yeah. So like, my dad won't tell my grandmother. You know, nor anybody else of the family, but he is going to warn him that if it does happen again.
Does your mom know about this?
Yeah, my mom knows. But see, my dad and my mom are split up.
Oh, boy.
So, like, I mean, they hate each other to the fullest. Like, they don't, like, none of them. My dad won't go to my wedding when I get married.
When are you getting married?
Oh, no, I'm not going to get married anytime soon.
Well, all right, but
why is he, well, by the way, why is he announcing this years before your marriage?
You know, like, I know my dad would come around, you know, because he's really, like, he's helping me now with a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, trying to get my life together, because I just barely got my high school back in January, my high school diploma.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I want to hear more about. What's been going on in your life? What has been the effect of all this family chaos and abuse? What's happened with you now?
Well, actually, like, I'm a collector. I'm a debt collector. So I have a job, but I don't go to school yet. I'm not just ready. I don't want to rush into something.
But how about you? How about your relationships? Are you able to have relationships?
Yeah, actually, I've been in a relationship with this guy for 9 months.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with him, like, the second month. Actually, no, I won't even say I really fell in love with him. Like, I really started liking him about the second month. You know, like, I was really into him at that time. But the thing is that ever since I was, like, 14 till about now, for the past, like, 5 years, see, I'm very codependent.
Yeah.
And I don't
know. Yeah, I bet.
You know, like, I don't know if what happened with me and my grandfather, like, affected that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very codependent. And, like, for the past 5 years, I've only been single for, like, a month tops.
Yeah, yeah. I've always had somebody.
Yeah.
And the guys you get involved with, are they alcoholics or abusive or anything?
You know, like, okay, like, about a year and a half ago, I used to be in a crystal mess.
Sure.
Oh, boy.
And
listen,
all right.
Well, let's stop right there. Why don't you be the first person in your family to get involved in recovery?
Yay.
Because in the yay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to recovery. Yay.
I want to go to recovery. Yay. I want to get a chip. Yay.
The thing is that I went to AA meetings and stuff for that.
Yeah.
Like, I went to all kinds of meetings because I knew I was, you know, I had a problem with it.
Right.
I went to meetings, and, like, it'll be a year in May that I haven't done anything.
Right.
And, you know, but I use, like, other things.
Yeah.
All right, listen. There you go. Right. An honest program of recovery includes in putting no substance in your body. You don't work with a sponsor, do you?
No. I put it on hold, but
get
please.
A sponsor.
True.
Do the steps.
I've been here for 8 years. You've asked people 375,000 times whether they've been working with a sponsor or not, and the answer is always no. So just say no.
Yeah. No sponsor, no treatment. And so, look, it's great that you moved in that right direction, but let's get it going here. Let's actually get involved in recovery. Get the sponsor. Stop doing drugs. Get sober. And a lot of the codependency stuff will sort itself out in the process of recovery. A lot of the abuse issues will be dealt with. Most these days, you know, most people getting into recovery have a trauma history.
Yeah.
It's just very, very common.
All right. Recovery, and don't get pregnant. You know, I was having this fantasy about, I like to think about just calling in airstrikes on certain houses, taking out the whole house.
Yeah.
That house, I was picturing more flamethrower. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you want to leave nothing behind.
I'm standing in front with a big flamethrower. Grandpa runs out with a cardigan on fire, screaming. You know what I mean? I give him another shot of the gasoline just as he's heading down the street.
Good times.
Don't you just want to, I don't know. You know what I mean? With these families, with everyone who's molested and everyone, and Grandpa doesn't do good, go. Don't we start burning people alive? We just start cleaning up this roach nest of a society we're in with all these guys are banging away on their granddaughters. You know what I mean? We just did a little vigilante justice. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Thank you. All right. What about this girl they found?
What happened exactly?
I don't know. I think she got, like, Stockholm Syndrome or something. She was hanging around with her abductor, and she was, like, wearing a burqa, and they were crisscrossing. They were in Colorado, and they would go out shopping, and she'd go out marketing and stuff.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how this works.
Wait, which one is she? Which one?
Is it Samantha Smart? It was one of the Smarts. Elizabeth Smart. She's been missing for, like, a year.
She's a child?
When she was abducted, I think
she's
like
12.
She was, like, 11 or 12. She's in her 30s now. I know it sounds weird. She's only been gone a year, but that's how it works.
Wow.
She had a couple of kids. Divorced. She's... No. I don't know. She's like 12 now, and she, you know, this guy sort of, I don't know who the guy is. I don't know the full story. I just know everyone's glad she's back.
Incredible.
And she's been gone a year. And I don't know, you know, I know if someone's been missing for, you know, a day, the chances of them coming back in one piece have probably dropped dramatically from the first couple hours. But when you start getting into a year.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much. People are pretty much looking for bones in the desert at this point, right?
Yeah.
So she made it back in one piece, and God bless her. All right, let's go back using my foolproof technique of who's been on hold the longest and speak to Jessica, who's 17. Jessica?
Hi.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Not so good.
Oh, what's the matter, baby cakes?
Okay, even since I was little, my parents, they, like, never allowed me to do anything with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just, like, go to the park or, you know, just wherever. And now since, like, we've had my cousin, we adopted her, and she's my sister now. And
how old is she?
She's four. She's turning four in April.
What's your nationality?
I'm Hispanic.
Hispanic. That's strict parents. Aye! Hispanic parents are like, either they're like super strict or they're like, hey, mijo, go to the liquor store and buy me a pack of butts and some malt liquor. And they're like, yeah, I'm four. Yeah, you'll be fine. Take the van. It's one or the other, but they can't figure it out, the Mexican parents, Drew. All right,
you say so.
You know what I'm talking about. Parents very protective.
No, that's the thing. Like, they spoil her, and my brother, he just turned 19. Mm-hmm. He still lives here. He has a job, but he's allowed to do whatever he wants.
Yeah. He's 19. How old are you?
She's 17. She just sounds 13. See, Drew, it's confusing when you can't see the age, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're 17.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was good in your life?
Yeah.
Never got molested or anything?
No molestation, no.
Well, yeah. But look, a four-year-old, you're jealous that there's a four-year-old in the house. And it's natural you have sort of a sibling rivalry, but of course they're going to treat a four-year-old different than a 17-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what you may see as spoiling may be precisely how you were treated when you were four.
Probably.
Now, a 19-year-old obviously will have more privileges than a 17-year-old. And what I think you're having to deal with is that there's sort of an implicit sexism in your family where the male is treated differently than a female. Even though you guys are close in age, he's given a lot more freedom and allowed to do stuff, and they're sort of scrutinizing you all the time.
But
that's not necessarily fair.
Yeah, it's not fair. But can't you see it as your parents being sort of protective over you and caring for you?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of bad stuff in there, but like, I've never done anything. Like,
right.
No drugs, no alcohol.
Okay. Well,
did you have one of those big parties when you were 16?
No, I mean, I was allowed to go, but I just never really.
No.
That big. It's like
coming
it's
out
like
party.
It's like a bar mitzvah. It's a bat mitzvah, yeah. Except for with a pinata.
When you were 16.
You know, I didn't have that one.
No.
I thought the little Ninas had that in the Hispanic culture.
Oh,
was
that a pinata?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh no, I never had that.
Yeah. Well, thanks for knowing what Drew was talking about eventually.
Yeah.
Isn't there some law that they have to have that?
No, there's no law. It's like a tradition.
Well, shut up, Drew. Is it 15 or 16?
It's
or
15.
Yeah, but Drew, you hang around with those rich Pasadena Mexicans.
On the contrary, I hear about people who don't have a pot to pee.
Ah, you're made.
And they save for these things, these events.
All right. Well, listen, Jessica.
Yes.
You're not getting in trouble. You're doing okay in school, right?
All
right.
Yeah.
Not a great student. When you get out of school, when are you going to be out of school?
In about 4 months.
4 months. What are you going to do?
I plan on going to college.
Yeah, but then, wait a minute. That's just more junior college, and then you just live at home.
No junior college. I plan on going to UOP.
UOP.
Yes.
University Pacific?
I haven't really thought of anything yet.
Yeah, what's but is it University of Pacific?
Yes.
Okay.
I think she thought I said anything specific.
Oh, yeah. I think. Did you get accepted to Pacific?
I haven't heard anything yet.
You think they're just going to contact you, or maybe you got to send them a letter or something first?
Oh, no, I did that. I'm just waiting for it, yeah.
Okay, but you may not. What's your GPA?
4.0.
Oh, 4.0. You're doing good. What'd you do in the SATs?
1350?
Very good.
Not bad at all.
And that's
wow.
Like a 1600 with the cultural bias in those tests.
Yes,
oh,
Mr.
Yes.
Carolla.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So I know because I'm Italian-American, Drew. That's why I had difficulty with those.
Oh, my God. At the airport today, a woman was wearing a bunch of FBI paraphernalia on it. I said, really? And she goes, yeah, it means full-blooded Italian.
Yeah. Yeah, they're the worst. All right. So, Jessica, you go off to University of Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
And and until then, you sort of, I'm sorry, but you have to, I mean, you can tell your parents, listen, I'm a good kid. Stop treating me like I'm a bad kid. But I don't think you're going to get past that. I say go off to college, and that's when you start the dope smoking and the lesbian action.
God's sakes.
Well, you just go off to college. Here's what everyone has to do. Mind their P's and Q's if they have those kinds of parents, and then go far away to college. All right?
Yeah, it's a reasonable plan.
I got recruited by University of Pacific to play football when I was in high school.
Yeah.
I'll bring you one of those letters one day, Drew.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah, it's good times. Good times. And you know who went there? University of Pacific? Christian Okoye, Nigerian Nightmare. I can tell you Brian knows that.
Huh.
All right. Let's take ourselves a little break, and we'll be right back. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew's in Panama City, Florida tonight because someone
dropped quite exciting, eventful night, huh?
Yeah.
But it's bizarre. When we were struggling to get this thing up and running, huge electrical storm going.
Really?
I mean, like a tempest at sea trying to get through this.
Kind of nice to have a little weather, though, huh?
Real nice, yeah.
All right. So let's.
And you're feeling better.
Yeah, I say my jaw's swollen now, but I do feel a little better. Joe, thank you for asking. Joe, you're 17?
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Not much.
Hey, Joe.
Well, I got a problem that, you know, I've been dealing with for a while. But, you know, I'm thinking that it's really getting important now, just because of my health and stuff. Since I was about probably 11, I've been a little bit overweight. You know, I've been chubby since I was like 2, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I've been, you know, quote-unquote fat since I was like 11.
Uh-huh.
Not really, you know, like obese.
You're fat.
True, please.
How about your family? Is everyone kind of overweight?
Yeah, actually. Like, heart, that's the thing I'm talking about. I was like, my grandpa died of heart disease. He wasn't overweight, but it just, you know, runs in the family. But, and my parents are both a little overweight. But it's not really, you know, I keep up, you know, at school and stuff. I keep up running with people and stuff like that. It's just that, you know, it's starting, you know, I started working at a fast food place.
Ooh.
And,
oh, boy.
Yeah.
How much do you weigh?
About 220.
How tall are you?
5'9".
All right.
And it's, like, starting to go up now.
All right.
And it's like I keep trying to lose
weight.
All
right. Well, look, you're going to have to just do a disciplined diet and exercise. Can you exercise?
Well, yeah, I exercise all the time. You know, I work out, all stuff. But the thing is, though, is I'll consciously try to, you know, lose the weight. But, you know, after about 2-3 weeks, it's not exactly it's like I have the motivation to do it. Right. It just kind of dies off. And I don't know
right.
why
yeah.
it's happening.
Well, look, I mean, here's, put them on hold.
Yeah, that's in the nature of these kinds of things. That's why people say never say diet. You have to just change your lifestyle and it become a way of life.
Yeah, and look, it's some people eat whatever they want, and here's what I'm saying. Would you agree with this, Drew?
Yeah.
There's a segment of society that is sort of where they should be. It's like you eat this much, you work out this much, you have such and such a diet, you're where you should be. Either you're fat, you're skinny, whatever it is, you deserve it. That's
yeah.
where you're at, okay? Then there's a segment of society that doesn't seem to eat all that much, yet gets fat, and there's a segment of society that seems to eat all the time and whatever they want and stay skinny like Dr. Bruce with the 12 sugars in his coffee and not batting an eye. Meanwhile, I'm seeing the guy's all nose and Adam's apple, and he's putting 12 sugars in his cup of coffee at 11 o'clock at night. So, sounds like Joe and Drew... You show me a kid who's fat at 15, and I'll show you a kid who just has a natural capacity to put weight on.
Probably. There's sort
probably.
Of two,
probably.
There are two common versions that I see. One is it's just their genetic hand. The whole family's kind of that same body type.
Right.
Another, though, is kids that have been abused or traumatized. They use food as a way of sort of comforting themselves, and they use it the weight as a way of pushing people away.
Right, right. And then we see that with women more than men.
Yes.
All right, but Joe over here, who's been a husker his basically his whole adolescence, has probably got a natural capacity for this. And
you want to go off about the Christy Brinkley videos and things?
Yeah, well, yeah, all you got to do is get one of those videos, and you can see how to lose weight. Yeah,
yeah.
You can be attractive, too.
Otherwise, you're lazy.
Yeah, it's really, we really do abuse fat people, but it's so fun. So here's the deal, Joe. You're going to have to work a little harder than your average guy. But all I'm saying is whenever you look at somebody and you say, wow, where'd you get those calves or where'd you get those forearms or how do you stay so fit or why does your waist look like what it looks like, you might as well just ask them why their eyes are blue.
Yeah.
Everyone loves to give a good answer, but the reality is people just are cut in certain shapes, and that's the long and the short of it.
Yeah.
I swear to God that's the way it is. And I wish exercise made a bigger difference.
Oh, but if there were one thing to point out that can make a substantial difference, particularly for men, it is exercise, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Drew, I've asked this before, and I'll ask it again. How come my buddy the Wheeze, who's the laziest pot smoker I know, never done so much as a push-up in his life? I've known the guy for 25 years. He doesn't own a pair of tennis shoes. He takes his shirt off. Looks about the same as I do.
Well,
looks the same as anyone else.
Nice.
Yeah.
He doesn't smoke pot anymore. He stopped, right?
No, but here's the bottom line. Our phone screener, Brian. Yeah. Brian exercises. Brian coaches. Brian looks after himself. Brian hits the gym now and again and does his thing. Wheeze looks better with his shirt off than Brian does, and the Wheeze has never done anything his entire life.
Or how about Chris, for God's sakes?
Well, don't forget about my other buddies, Chris and Ray, who Ray has to yell at people that he doesn't work out. when they scream at him, "You've been working out. Are you on steroids?" And he's like, "No, I don't work out." And they're like, "BS." Yeah. So what is that? What's the secret to Ray? We gotta talk to his mom. I guess the secret is smoking cigarettes, drinking beer, and watching a lot of porn on bootleg cable. That evidently is the key to a good physique, according to my buddy Ray. I mean, if you just studied his physique.
Yeah, and his behaviors.
And his behaviors. You look at him with his shirt off and then follow his behavior. Ah, long hours, lots of fatty foods and starches, and plenty of bootleg porn on cable.
Think of the video, the video he'd put together.
Yeah, just Ray sitting around smoking, watching the Spice Channel and eating a donut. Fantastic, son of a bitch. All right. Drew, am I right about this or am I right?
You are right.
All right. What's the key to success? Get your parents together. That's what the key is. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. Yeah. Really can enjoy this song now, unimpeded. Drew, you still there?
I'm here.
All right there, buddy boy. You can be calling the cell phone. We got stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we do indeed.
We're going to start with your attitude.
And my attitude, for God's sakes.
I know. That's just the kind of attitude I'm talking about. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla.
Yes, sir.
For Dr. Drew saying mahalo. I want to go to recovery. Yeah, yay! Yeah, yay! I want to get a chip. Yay!
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.